A Kiss from Mr. Fitzgerald, written by Natasha Lester and read by Kelly Burke.
Prologue. New York, 1925. How did I get here? How did I get here? The words reverberated between each click of Evie's heels as she stepped off the moon and executed a perfect Ziegfeld strut. Her arms were extended as if to lift the skirt of a dress she wasn't wearing, and her head was pulled back by the halo of 100 silver-dipped stars. She smiled at the audience, who thought that what she did was at the least entertaining and at the most foreplay. Her neck ached, but she concentrated on the sound of the dollar bills that Ziegfeld would flick into her hand at the end of the night, like a baccarat dealer at a high-stakes table. The music changed to the big, belting fanfare of the finale, and Evie curtsied, then took her place near the center of the line of showgirls. She knew what she had to do. Join arms, scissor kick the legs, emphasize the breasts, and damn well make herself look so delicious that no one in the crowd remembered the New York that existed beyond the doors of the theater. That was a place of discreet money and manners and hidden mistresses, where a woman called Evie Lockhart fought a battalion of men every day for permission to become a doctor. Inside the theater, the men had no manners, the mistresses were out on show, the money was splashed around like whiskey, and Evie Lockhart was once again fighting, this time to remember that an exchange of dignity for college fees would be worth it. Where did it all go? Evie thought as she spun around. All my joy, all my wonder. New York used to knock the breath right out of her. Now it was a daily struggle just to get enough air. But she slapped her smile back on because Florence Ziegfeld was glaring at her, and Evie needed to be a Ziegfeld girl more than Ziegfeld needed her. She'd better give someone in the audience a sultry wink to show she was still playing the game. As she looked for a man to dazzle, she got a feeling like an itch in the corner of her eye. She blinked once, twice, but the irritation was still there, narrowing her focus to the man in the fourth row from the front. Center seat, so he must be important. When she saw who he was, she got what she wanted. The breath knocked right out of her. It was Thomas Whitman. Tommy. Back from London. Would he recognize the girl from Concord, Massachusetts, who used to live next door, oh, such a long time ago? He'd never expect to see Evelyn Lockhart dancing a can-can with a line of beautiful girls whose long legs shimmered from toe to thigh in a way you'd never see in a drawing room on the Upper East Side. Evie knew she should look away, but 2.5 years in London had transformed Thomas into the cat's whiskers. He'd been handsome before, but now he was heart-stopping, and he looked all the better for not slicking back his hair like the rest of the Valentino imitators in the crowd. His eyes were like black marble, and unlike those of most of the men around him, they were studying her face, not roaming her body. Then he stood up and began to step past the people seated beside him. He strode towards the exit, even though the show wasn't over. It could only mean that beneath the thick kohl lining Evie's eyes, the red lips, the leotard and the stars, Thomas had seen someone he used to know. Luckily, it was the last number of the night. The curtain was about to come down, and Ziegfeld's girls would be officially off duty unless they wanted to don a sheer, lacy robe and go up to the bar and pout because the cigarette dangling so elegantly from their quelizaire was unlit. Evie never joined them, and she certainly wouldn't tonight. Instead, she'd lie awake, remembering how often she'd dreamed of kissing Thomas Whitman. And she'd try not to think about the fact that now that he knew she worked for Ziegfeld, he'd never want to see her again.